Brothers of the Holy War, sports podcast of the fans, by the fans, for the fans. Hi everyone, my name is Chase Egbert, coming to you live from the great state of Idaho. I was raised in Washington State, and I am a Cougar fan through and through. You know, grew up watching the Cougars through the 90s with Steve Sarkisian, Welsh, even Ty Detmer as a little kid, and even through the early 2000s with Max Hall and John Beck and, you know, Brandon Doman and all the other greats throughout the years. So, love the Cougs, huge fan, always have been, always will be. Now my partner in crime here, Andrew Brown, grew up a Utes fan, hence the name Brothers of the Holy War. You know, we always have great conversations and we seem to get along just fine after having some, you know, real conversations about Utah versus BYU and what have you. But it seems like after the Holy War, we have some really good conversations of who's playing the Utes that week, who's playing BYU that week, and who are we rooting for and why. And so we figured, hey, we should start a podcast. So we're going to talk a lot about BYU, a lot about the Utes, and other sports going on around the nation that we find interesting. So Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for starting this up, Chase. So just to get to know me a little bit, I'm Andrew. I was actually born in Salt Lake, grew up in California, but still big Utah sports fan from California, which was difficult since, you know, I'm a Jazz fan, a bunch of Laker fans around me. I'm a Utes fan, not a lot of Utes fans right in California, but stuck around and cheered for the Utes no matter what. I was just in Nevada, but I'm actually going to optometry school in Phoenix right now.
Oh, there you go. Arizona. Go Cards. Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. All right. Well, we're excited to get started. Andrew and I have been friends for quite a while. Like I said earlier, we've had some real discussions, some heated discussions at times, I would say, about BYU and Utah, some of the rivalry games. And, you know, it's fitting, right, Andrew? Tomorrow is the big game. It's the Holy War starting the season. You pretty excited about that?
I am pretty excited. And I think since we have had so many good discussions about this, I feel like we're like the good side of the rivalry. There's so much so much hatred and so much negative, weird things that are talked about this time of year between Utah and BYU fans. It's nice to have a level-headed conversation about something that should be easy to talk about, which is football.
Yeah, exactly. Should bring us together, be some brothers. You know, we can be rivals for, you know, 3 hours during a game and then, you know, root for each other the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Cool. And that's kind of the hope I want through this podcast is BYU and Ute fans alike can listen to this and not have to listen just to a BYU broadcaster or just a Ute broadcaster. They can kind of hopefully hear some of the things that they think as well, and not, like you said, feel that hatred.
As I say, you can bring your blue goggles, I can bring my red goggles, and we can find some middle ground.
There we go. Hey, that's a great segue into our first segment, Goggle On, Goggle Off. You ready for this?
Let's do it.
All right. So, Goggle On, Goggle Off. The idea is you're going to put your red goggles on for a minute. We're going to go through a question or two, and you're looking through those thick red goggles, and I'll, you know, then we'll take them off, maybe look at some more realistic, and then we'll do it with the blue goggles on.
Sound good? Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. So, red goggles on. What does the season behold for the Utes this year? They're getting a lot of hype, you know. I saw Lee Caruso on College Game Day even say that they might be one of those teams in the top four playing for the national championship. But those red goggles on, what are you thinking?
Well, I guess as a typical Ute fan, if you put your red goggles on, Ute fans are some of the most pessimistic people in the world. So as soon as we start to see some of those those hype train going, all of a sudden us Utah fans panic. But I guess full on red goggles, it's a 12-0, 11-1 season and a Pac-12 championship and a berth to the college football playoff.
Ooh, all right, all right. I see there. You know, I was shocked when I was watching that on Saturday morning when Lee Caruso put them up there playing against Clemson, and not just playing, but beating Clemson.
Yeah,
I was shocked.
I've seen a couple others today across different platforms, Fox Sports, CBS, other places that have Utah in the playoffs. So it's become a weird, trendy pick that I'm not sure I'm comfortable with, but I'm enjoying the ride.
I don't blame you at all. So let's take those red goggles off for a second. Realistically, from where you're sitting, Andrew, what do you think is in store for the Utes this year?
Oh, you can't be a Utes fan and not be at least a little pessimistic about their offense, just because that's how it's been for the last couple of years. I think even with the goggles off, a realistic look at the Utes, the Pac-12 South's pretty down this year. USC's always loaded with talent, but their coaching hasn't always been great, and looks like everybody else is in the rebuild. So I think even realistic good scenario is Utah winning the Pac-12 South, maybe with a couple losses, and playing in the Pac-12 championship game, maybe, you know, not with quite the hype of going to the playoff or anything, but
right,
that feels pretty realistic to me.
Yeah, it's true. If you had a couple losses under your belt, you wouldn't be really looked at heavily coming from the Pac-12, I'd imagine.
Yeah, just for Pac-12's reputation the last couple of years, you're thinking you're probably going to have to only lose. Utah would probably only have to lose at Washington and win everything else and win the Pac-12 championship to make the playoffs, probably.
Okay. I'm right there with you. I have to agree with you on that. If I were to put the red goggles on, and it probably looked more purple with the blue, you know. I have to agree with you as far as I think realistically, that's probably what you're looking for. Maybe even getting to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, if you tell me that's how it ends right now, I'll sign that right now, saying Rose Bowl, let's go.
All right, so shifting gears, putting on the blue goggles. As a BYU fan, looking at their season, I'm looking through some pretty dense blue here, right?
Okay.
I think blue through and through, we win two, maybe three of the first four games, which is a pretty daunting task for the beginning of the season, to open the season like that.
Let's put the real blue goggles on, Chase. Let me have you pick three. Who's the three wins?
All right. So, true blue, we beat Utah, we beat Tennessee, and we beat USC at home. We lose to UW at home.
I guess if I have blue goggles on, I'll take that.
You're probably seeing a little purple too, I imagine. Yeah, so totally blue goggles. And then we win out, except for maybe the exception of Boise, and we finally beat Utah State. I don't know what it is with us and Utah State lately, but we win the state. All blue goggles on, right?
Okay.
So, all right, so shifting gears, taking the goggles off. You know, realistically, for me as a BYU fan, one of the first four, maybe two, I do think we've got a good shot at Tennessee. You know,
down, I think they're down.
They are. They've been down for a couple seasons now, right?
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't be terribly surprised if we go to Tennessee and those guys that were there last year that played against Wisconsin and know how to travel, kind of get that hype going. And they get fired up from the loss from Utah, and they go and beat Tennessee there. I think USC is going to be a tight game. I really do. But, you know, it is a big team. They always come in fast. And over the years, even though BYU's put together some really good defenses, I feel like fast teams like Florida State, when they came in and was it 11, I think, they weren't great, but they were fast, and we just have always seemed to struggle with like really, really fast teams. So USC always puts together a fast team.
I'm going to be honest with you. Out of those first four, that's the most winnable one for me, I think, for you guys.
Okay. So just I guess you've seen a lot more of the Pac-12 than I have. What do you see there?
They're always loaded with athletes, always. But they've been a mess on offense, either a mess on defense. All the reports coming out of their camp is that they're not sure where they're going. Their secondary is a mess. But out of the first four, if I'm being realistic, you get them in Lavelle Edwards, don't you?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, that's out of the first four. That's for me. That's what I pick you to win.
All right. So maybe we can put two then. And then the rest of the season, I mean, I don't know why, but we seem to travel well to Utah State. We can't get them at home, but we seem to get them there.
Boise's in Provo this year, right?
Yeah. Yep. You know, speaking of that, last time they were in Provo, you and I were at that game together.
That's true. I remember that. I wasn't very liked that night. Yeah.
Say, I enjoyed the ending of that one. Do you remember that one?
I do remember that one, yeah.
Last second, was about 30 seconds left, just heaved up on a fourth down and somehow came down with it.
But that was the last of the Tanner magic, it felt like.
Yeah, yep, that's kind of last we really saw of him being Tanner. But that's kind of what I'm thinking. BYU maybe comes out realistically with 6-7 wins, goes to a small bowl game. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Seven. Okay. I can see 7-5 makes sense to me.
So that was awesome. Goggles on, goggles off. You ready to switch gears?
Let's do it.
All right. Next segment. So we're going to do what we call highlights of the week, but because we don't have highlights quite yet, I've come up with a couple of videos. I'm going to show you or have you listen in on a couple of clips and get your reaction to them. You ready for that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. First one.
So Utah leads 23-20. So it's second down. And 10 for BYU. Four-man rush. Throwing it over the left. Andrew Dort. Touchdown, BYU.
All right, Andrew Brown. Can you know what play that was?
Yeah, I do.
How does that make you feel? I picked a good one to start with, right?
I'm going
to
be real honest with you here. Are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
No judgment. I was actually on my mission for that game, and I may or may not have watched that from the Family History Center of the local Victoria Ward.
You know, so, I kind of expect that from a U fan. Yeah. I don't know.
us unrighteous U fans.
That's funny.
But yeah, I remember watching it with fellow Ute missionaries, and as that play happened, we just exited the computer. Turned off all the lights and went back to our car. I didn't even watch anything else. Just that was it. I was just done.
You know what? That may have been the reason BYU won that game.
That's definitely it.
Yeah, has to be. Oh, man. Okay, so from my side of the field, I was back from my mission at that point, and I was watching from BYU, Idaho, and just going nuts. And I had the opportunity to go down and watch it. My parents invited me to go down. So my parents, my little brother, they were all there. And obviously, as you can imagine, as a BYU fan, they just went absolutely bonkers. And I wished I was there with them. So I was a little jealous. But
that was a different time in the rivalry, though. I felt pretty hopeless at that point. We'd had 4th and 19. We'd have Harline. We'd had that one. So it felt like all the big plays, all the things like that went down to the wire, all went BYU's way, and it was kind of a hopeless time, but I'm glad it's changed a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and since we're on that subject, what do you think about this streak? Is it, because I've heard a lot of different rhetoric. I've heard, you know, like you said, it's come down to the wire so many different times that it's a little bit of luck. I've heard from, I think, Riley, he's one of the Utes, broadcasters, if I remember right, he's saying nah, it's more of a talent gap. It has nothing to do with luck. It's just that we have so much more talent. It's not competitive anymore. So I don't know. If you look at the history of things, you've got the 80s and 90s with BYU, and then it went 5-5, if I remember right, kind of back and forth. Now we've had this long Utah streak. What's your feelings on that?
I'm probably somewhere in the middle. I think top to bottom, Utah is more talented than BYU. Mm-hmm. And that has more to do with players 23 through 50 than it does year 22. Yeah. I think BYU fans will be the first ones to admit that as some injuries piled up in the Utah game last year, Utah had their way.
Right.
But
yeah, Utah Hadley went down and Kafusi went down.
Yeah, but Utah fans will be the first ones to point back that we were playing with our backup quarterback and our backup running back, and that's just kind of how football goes. And
yep.
And so I think Utah's is more talented, yes, but I think that's more seen in depth and as injuries pile up and as things like that happen.
I mean, I think, you know, coming from the BYU side, I honestly have to think and agree with you that Utah is more talented top to bottom. It really is. You pick any 22 at random, put them on the field against any 22 of BYU's, Utah is going to be more talented. They're quicker, bigger, faster. They've got the Pac-12 helping as far as being able to recruit that way. That's huge.
Correct.
And to some degree, which I think maybe we can talk about another episode, there's the honor code part too. Makes it a little harder to track some of these athletes.
Sure.
So. Okay, so I've got another one for you. Let's see what you think of this one. Did you hear that one okay?
Yeah, I know. I know what play it was. That's all. I heard enough.
So walk me through that one.
Again, being honest, as he's breaking tackles and running, I'm thinking, hey, you want to go down at the 2-yard line? It's in front of the clock out here. But, you know, that's a pessimistic U fan thinking, like, let's not give them the ball back. Something bad will happen. But I'm glad he scored. It was fun. It was an awesome play. It's a play that we've watched over and over again as U fans and has been played over and over again on Fox and other places as well. So it was just a fun play that I'm not sure if we see Shelly this year. So that was fun for him.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's one on this side of the ball is just heart wrenching. You know, everyone seemed like they were following the sweep around.
Yeah.
And got some people kind of lulled into that and a couple missed tackles. And man, heck of a play for the Utes. I know I was listening to Zach Wilson talk about how he feels pretty responsible starting the momentum change with his pick six earlier in the game. And he said he's watched that game 100 times. Can you believe that?
Well, I do believe it. And that play changed momentum as far as the stands go. But from a U perspective, it looked like after he did that, they kind of took the ball out of his hands the whole rest of the game, didn't give another shot. From your perspective, is that what it felt like as well?
Oh, as far as play calling?
Yeah, the whole rest of that game after he threw that pick six, they kind of went conservative and tried to hold on to the lead.
Yeah, no, it's true. It almost seemed like it was the first time there in a while, and so no one knew what quite to do. And you're right, I did feel like the plays got conservative, and you know, you did feel a little bit. Matt Hadley, he's one of my boys from back in Washington. He grew up in Connell, just down the street from me. He held the rushing record in Washington State for several years, actually, for high school. And when he went over to BYU, they put him at linebacker and safety and put him on the defensive side. So when people are thinking of, like, oh, crud, he's going to be running the ball, I was pretty excited, actually, to see him go. And he took off and did well. But, yeah, it just seemed like they pulled back. And then when he got hurt, they pulled back even more. And then when it was time to let loose at the end, they weren't ready, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you put that on Grime, the offensive coordinator's lack of experience. He had just come from LSU at that point. First time calling a big game or the rivalry game. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's a freshman quarterback. It's just made a huge mistake giving the momentum back to Utah. But if I remember correctly, don't they go down and score another touchdown right after that?
BYU?
Yeah. After the pick six, they score, and then after that, they kind of just go and try to milk the clock.
Exactly. That's where they try to milk the clock, and they're just trying to hold on to the win instead of finish. But
yeah.
in against a team like Utah that is so stacked top to bottom, like you mentioned earlier, you can't do that. You can't let off the foot. I've got one other thing for highlights of the week. I just figured we take a second, if you want, and talk about the two games for week zero. First time we've ever seen a week zero in NCAA football. See what you thought of the first two games real quick, and then we'll switch gears after that.
I mean, they were pretty ugly. It's college football, so I was excited to watch. I sat on my couch and I watched both games through basically beginning to end. Mm-hmm. Lots of turnovers, lots of false start penalties, out of pre-snap penalties that you expect week one, but it was fun to have football back, and it was fun to watch two competitive, close, down-to-the-wire games.
Yeah, you never complain about college football being on.
It's true.
I mean, let's be real there.
Yeah.
Man, okay, I have to say, with the Miami-Florida game, that's the one that I actually watched pretty much all the way through. And that second half, I think it was even in the fourth quarter, I was on the couch laughing hysterically because I remember why there was five different turnovers all in a row.
Yeah, and Florida's three straight pass interferences to keep a Miami drive going in the game.
Right? Oh, man, it seemed like the penalties were just going to lose it for him at the end.
Yeah, it's like, do anything else. Stop grabbing the – let him catch it at that point.
it was painful to watch in one instance, but the other instance, like you said, you're like, hey, it's first week, new coach on the Miami side, pretty inexperienced to some degree on the Florida side. Favorite part of the whole night for me though was watching the Florida quarterback go in chirp at the camera for a while, and he was chirping at players and chirping at fans up in the stand, and then he goes and throws one of the worst throws I've ever seen in college football. Triple coverage, the guy's not even close, and he throws it right at the Miami defender.
Well, don't forget the three pump fakes he had before that. I'm not sure what he's pump faking to, and then he decides to make that throw. Yeah, that was game was basically over at that point. They get a first down, it's probably over, and for some reason they decide to run the little fake screen with trying to, I don't know what they were trying to do, but it was a terrible throw.
That was horrific. And it was, had me laughing just because 2 minutes before he was talking at the camera how cool he was. But
yeah.
And I didn't get to see it, but I did hear that the Arizona game came down to the wire. Almost literally.
Yeah. Khalil Tate running for the goal line to send the game to overtime, get stopped at the one. But if I'm being honest, watching most of that game, Hawaii wins that game turning the ball over six or seven times, which is pretty crazy.
They really turned it over that many times?
Yeah, their starting quarterback had four interceptions, so they went to the backup quarterback. They also had a couple fumbles in there as well. So
when they didn't
turn the ball over, they moved the ball at will, but lots of interceptions.
Is it that Hawaii is that good, or is Arizona that bad?
Oh, Arizona, that was a bad loss for the Pac-12, and we'll see as the season goes along. I thought Arizona did some good things on offense, but Arizona looks really bad on defense and not sure what they're doing on offense, which is pretty weird because I thought Kevin Sumlin would come there and do some things with Khalil Tate, but he looks about as lost as he did last year. So we'll see what happens with them as the year goes along.
So does that hurt the Utes where they see them late in the season if Arizona goes and loses to Mountain West team like that?
I just think that hurts the Utes if the Utes have a couple losses. It hurts the perception of the Pac-12. It hurts the perception of the conference in general. I think if Utah wins out and takes care of business and wins all 12 or loses to Washington, they still have a real shot to go to the playoff. But I think it hurts the perception of the Pac-12 in general that Arizona's going to Hawaii and losing for sure.
Let's switch gears, if you would. We're going to go to our next segment called Questions of the Week. So we'll go through a couple different questions, and this week I'll come up with questions. Next week you've got them.
Okay.
That work? Okay. Yeah. So, first question: Who is the newcomer you are most excited for the Utes?
So are we saying newcomer as in new to the program or new to starting line?
Yeah, whether it be a transfer or someone coming in as a true freshman that might be seeing some playing time.
Oh, man. I'm not sure how many freshmen are seeing playing time, but I'm excited, most excited about newcomer to the Utah program. And to be honest, I'm not sure he's even eligible. Actually, I'm pretty sure he's not. But it's Cam Rising, quarterback transfer from Texas. 4-star quarterback, obviously went to Texas, so he was highly recruited.
So he has to sit out his 1 year?
I think he didn't get his waiver done to the NCAA. I feel like he was the only quarterback that put a waiver in for transfer to play his first year and didn't get it done for some reason. But he's with the team, he's playing, heard lots of good things from spring ball. But I think he's a 4-star quarterback. Which are always nice to get, especially with the transfer Jack Tuttle last year for the Utes. So that's what I'm most excited about. Probably don't even see him this year, but if we're talking about most excited, that's him.
All right. On the BYU side for me, it's got to be Taysom Williams coming in from South Carolina. Just watched some of the video on him, and he looks good. I mean, he looks like a running back from the SEC. I think he was plagued a little bit with injuries throughout his career there, but just heard a lot of good things. And it'd be nice to have a running back that kind of looks like a Unga or a Brown, you know,
a bigger back.
Years ago. Yeah. Yeah. So that's probably my number one guy I'm most excited for.
I think I just saw that didn't they say he's starting?
Yeah. They just posted the roster, and he is number one.
So yeah, that'll be interesting to see. Did they bring any backs back that you thought they would win the job instead of him?
Once I started watching some of the film and stuff, I didn't think anyone else would really have a chance, especially if he had the opportunity to shine, which it sounded like he did in some of the fall scrimmages. One other guy coming back, honestly, I'm forgetting his name, but I believe he's number 4, Pauly kid, runs really, really well, and he still has a couple years to go, and that's why I was thinking, like, they'll probably give Taysom the nod because they get him back for a couple more years, and I don't think giving him the nod for the first game of the season coming from the SEC is going to hurt the kid's feelings that he would transfer, so why not do it?
That makes sense.
Yeah. All right. So here's another question for you. Does playing the Holy War in game one help BYU or Utah more?
I'm going to go with it helps Utah more.
I agree with you. Why do you think that?
Well, I was going to go to the injury thing, but we just talked about that hurts BYU more. But Utah's playing BYU with their starting quarterback and their starting running back. Last year, we played with Shelley and with Shine. It'll be nice to have Hunley and Moss back there. So that was my big thing, but what do you think?
I'm thinking it does give Utah the upper hand. They come in fresh, not being beat up at all from Pac-12 gauntlet you have to sometimes go through before playing BYU. Sometimes too, like last year, for example, by the time you guys got to BYU at the end of the season, you had already earned your spot in the Pac-12 championship, if I remember right.
Correct.
And so it's kind of hard, I would imagine, to get up for, even though it's a rivalry game, a game like that and say, like, ooh, should I sit some people? Should I not save them for the championship? So they're coming in fresh, and with all the hype around them, I just feel like it gives Utah the edge because they've got everything to prove and everything to lose.
Yeah, and this probably has a little bit of red goggles on, but I have a hard time believing that Utah team. They'll say all the right things that they were up for that game. They'll say that they didn't come in sleeping, but that wasn't the same Utah team we saw 2 weekends later in the Pac-12 championship game that gave up no offensive points to Washington. So yeah. I feel like they, you know, with the champion, with the Pac-12 championship already locked up, with Washington hanging, whether or not they want to admit it, whether or not they even did it, you know, consciously, I'm not sure they were all the way up for that game.
All right, buddy. So last question, and then we'll do our last segment. So last question is, have you heard a little bit of the rhetoric from Riley saying that this is not a competitive rivalry? And what are your thoughts on that?
I guess we'll answer that on Thursday, or we'll answer that on Thursday.
That's the safe one. That's a good answer.
I think if Utah goes into Provo on Thursday and wins 35-17 or 35-10 or shows dominance, mm-hmm. and makes it 9 in a row, and I have a hard time, you know, they have had a lot of close games recently, so I can't say, you know, we're for sure better, but 9 in a row is a lot in a row, and especially if they do it in a dominating fashion.
You know, blue goggles on. There's like the realistic side and the blue goggle side. So the blue goggle side of me is saying, you know, every game except for maybe that Jake Heaps game has been close. It's been tight. For some reason, BYU always seems to show up against Utah, even when Utah is clearly a better team physically. But take off the blue goggles. I get what he's saying. I get where he's coming from as far as saying, hey, guys, it's been nine in a row, or could be 9 in a row. Will it ever be close again? Oh, it's hard. It's hard as a BYU fan to be like, no, you guys got our goat. But you got to have a little bit of hope and faith that, hey, maybe this is some of that ebb and flow that, hey, we had them in the 90s, back and forth in the early 2000s. They've got us pretty good now. Maybe it'll come back and forth. Especially if we start looking at maybe joining a Power 5 conference, if we ever can. That might help too.
Yeah. I just think it depends on what you mean by talent gap. Because less talented teams win football games all the time.
Right.
So to say BYU can't win on Thursday or can't win a game in the series in the next 20 years is ridiculous. But to say Utah's not more talented, looking at recruiting classes, looking at players sent to the NFL recently, looking at things like that, I think you have to say there's at least a little bit of a talent gap.
Oh, yeah. And we'd be blind to say, no, you're wrong. You know, it would just be one of those kinds of fans that are just like so blinded by blue that, and you could say the other way, right?
There's tons of those on our side as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. I think it was something like 21 of the Utes in the last however many years have been drafted, compared to, I believe it was five or six from the Cougars. So, I mean, even looking at that stat, there's a big gap.
Yeah.
All right. So, last segment. I figure we just give ourselves a soapbox. We say, hey, this is one last rant before we finish off the podcast, and we'll see who wins on Thursday, and we'll have a lot to talk about either way next week. So, one last rant. Andrew Brown, what's on your mind?
I just hope that Utah shows up on Thursday. Actually, I know they're going to show up on Thursday. I hope that them showing up on Thursday proves to be what every Ute fan thinks it should be and is a 3-touchdown win. I think we have an NFL running back. I think we have a pretty good Pac-12 quarterback, and I think we have one of the best defensive fronts in college football. I think if we show up and play the way we're supposed to, that I don't think it should be close, but that's red goggles.
Yeah. All right, BYU rant for me is like, please, please just get one win. I mean, it's like watching the miracle, right? They talk about, hey, we can play them 10 times. You only have to beat them once. If there's going to be one time to beat the Utes, this would be it. You know, coming from BYU's side, there's not a championship at the end of the season, conference-wise, you know. This would be kind of the icing on top of the cake if, with all the hype that these are getting, BYU could pull off a win. And I'm not saying that they should win. It would be one of those, hey, we happened to win. We happened to get one of those field goals, one of those pick sixes back, one of those turnovers that turned into touchdown back, which it sounded like I was doing some research. It looked like 7 or 8 touchdowns that the Utes have gained in the last several years just off of the defense alone. I mean,
true.
When these games come down to the wire like they've tended to, you can't just let the defense score 1 or 2 times a game and hope to win. So yeah. That's my rant for today. Is my boy's 8 years old. He's never seen the Cougars beat Utah. Come on. Oh, man. All right, bud. Hey, it's been fun making this podcast with you.
You need to make a prediction.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea. Let's see. Should we do a blue goggle realistic?
I just want it. Give me your prediction.
Okay. Realistically, oh man, I'd kind of put it close to what it was last year with Utes on top. I'd say like 34-21 Utes.
Okay. I'll go similar. I'm going to say 38-21 Utes.
Okay. So yeah, kind of in the same general area.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, appreciate you. And thanks to anybody that happened to listen in. We're going to be getting maybe an Instagram page and a Facebook page up. So if you want to learn more, see more, we'll be posting stuff there. So if you guys enjoyed that, check us out next week. Otherwise, see you on Instagram. Thanks, guys.
Brothers of the Holy War, sports podcast of the fans, by the fans, for the fans.